And I want to talk this morning here. I want to try to get through all of this. Praise God that we're not rushed for time at all today, because you want to take and try to find something to write with, write some things down. I understand last week that we had Jimmy Darnell here from San Marcos. He had a great message here about the six kinds of leaven, five bad, one good. And so I don't know all the details of what all was spoken about that, but I really believe what the Spirit of God was talking to my heart about this entire season here, and there's also this series. In order to grow in a garden or whatever else, you must sometimes remove some weeds. Amen? You got to sometimes cultivate and take some things that are choking out the roots and choking out the good plantings to bring forth, oh God, the harvest and bring forth the fruitfulness that God wants. So God, I believe right now in this season, is going to touch some things in our lives that's going to maybe seem painful at the time, but it's only going to bring forth a harvest of righteousness down the road. And that's a good thing. Amen? So I'm going to talk this morning here about dealing with self. And we're going to see here how God can use this in a way that's going to be edifying to us, beneficial for us. So we'll be able to ready to write some things down this morning here, take some notes, and do some research beyond this message here, because this has potential to be an ongoing, life-changing word that can really bring forth great breakthrough and blessings to your life on an ongoing basis, including this morning. I believe that. In Jesus' name. This entire series is about growing into a fuller stature and nature of Jesus Christ himself and becoming a person who's not anemic for God, but a person who actually is thriving, bearing fruit, expanding God's kingdom, and doing what God has called us to do and be in the short life we live on this earth. The word repentance is a word that does not just mean to take and turn, you're going this way, you're now going the other way. It doesn't just mean to have tears flowing down your face. Those are all the results of repentance. Amen? Repentance actually means a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of soul. And once you have a change of heart, a change of mind, then you will turn, then you will have tears sometimes, you will have sometimes times of denying yourself of many things there. But repentance begins with a changing of your mind and your mindset. I believe the Spirit of God is talking to us very strong at Tree of Life Church right now in the realm of the soul. The realm of the soul is the realm of the mind, the will, and the emotions, because God wants our soulish man to be healthy, be prosperous, and be lining up with the Spirit of God, not the spirit of this age and this world. Amen? So that means that our minds must be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. So Heavenly Father, right now, turn on your divine Maytag washing machine. We pour in right now the Tide detergent. We bring in some Downy for softener. And we say now, cleanse our minds in the name of Jesus. Brainwash us for God in Jesus' name. Amen. The Maytag's on. We're on the agitation cycle right now. And we're going to take and go right into the spin cycle and keep right on moving into the dryer in due time as the Holy Spirit shows up and burns His fire on us. Amen. You're going to find yourself fluffy, white, smelling good, smelling like Jesus before this day is over. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God for divine Maytags. So, Romans chapter 8. We're talking here about how to see our minds transformed, because when the paradigm takes place of our minds being transformed, when true repentance comes by divine revelation, we find ourselves in changing our thinking, which then changes our actions, which then makes us qualified to become a voice for the Lord. God wants you to be a voice on your workplace, among your neighbors, in your own household. God wants you to be not just an echo, but actually be a voice for His kingdom in this day and this hour. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29, it says, "And we know that all things work together." How many folks know that? Now that word "know" there means we know by the Spirit and by revelation. You cannot know that unless you know God. Because there's many bad things take place in our lives and lives around us, and we don't always know in the intellect of our brain that it works together for good, but we do know by the intellect of the Spirit that God does work all things together for good. And these Greek words for "work together" actually is what the word "synergy" comes from. And synergy means one puts 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. So what God does, when God brings forth divine unity inside of our lives and our minds, He brings forth multiplication, not just addition. Amen? 1 + 1 to God equals 1,000, because God works in multiplying, not just adding in our lives. So God says, all things work together in synergy for the good to those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose, Those are two big words right there. You got to realize you're not called for your purpose. You are called for God's purpose. And like Cheryl said this morning, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. And God sees the big picture all over the world and the future as well. So God works all things together for His purpose in your life. And that's why sometimes delays happen. That's why sometimes perplexing things take place. And that's why sometimes God does things that totally confuses us, but God knows what He's doing. Amen? Even folks that get put into office as our presidents, vice presidents, governors, God knows what He's doing. Amen? So pray for Him. Don't curse Him. Just a side note. Okay, moving on. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are predestined, the Bible says here, to be what? To be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because God wants us to represent Him, to be Christians, Christians in our workplace, in the world out there, to show folks the true Jesus Christ, not the compromised Christ, not the backslidden Christ, but the on fire like God Christ, because we are Christ's representatives on the face of this earth. We are to be conformed in His image and likeness because God so loves the world so much. He wants all those lost folks you know to know Jesus Christ as Savior somehow, some way. That's why God says you are salt and you are light. If you're conformed in My image and likeness, you'll be bearing much fruit for Me, is what God is saying. Okay, so only by renewing our minds and changing the way we think can this conforming work take place in us. The main way God works in us is God changes our thinking. God changes our mindset. God begins erasing negative things that hinder us and kill and steal and destroy. And God begins replacing them with life-giving thoughts, godly thoughts, kingdom thoughts, faith-filled thoughts, and thoughts of truth and not lies in Jesus' name. I want to say to you guys again, a lot of us believe lies that God wants to put His finger on those lies, remove those lies. When the thief is found out, he's kicked out, amen? Jesus Christ overturns those tables, takes those things out that kill, steal, and destroy, and He makes the temple a place of prayer, a place of communion. Then God starts speaking truth and life to us. Then miracles take place. Healings break out there. God is honored. Praise goes forth, and God's kingdom begins advancing in new ways. So God wants our minds conformed in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I have three take-home points this morning. Each one of these takes some time to go through, so listen close, take some notes. The first take-home point to deal with self is, number one, dealing with self begins with self-denial. Self-denial. This is what's called an anomaly. An anomaly means thinking outside the box. Self-denial is a total anomaly in American culture and most cultures of most nations on the face of the earth today, because dying to self, denying self, is not part of the human preservation mindset at all. Amen? But dying to self, denying self, is all about God's kingdom, God's way to increase fruitfulness and blessing and also destiny in our lives. Now, how many know that a message about self-denial does not have to be one that beats you up, but it can be one that edifies you, strengthens you, and will bless you this day in Jesus' name? How many folks know that? I'm going to believe God to give you a message on self-denial that will not beat you up, condemn you, and judge you. It'll actually bless you, encourage you, and give you strength and grace to be a person who actually bears more fruit for God. Because self-denial is not a bad thing, not a negative thing. It's a good thing when it's done in God's way, not man's way, okay? So let's explain now briefly here, how do paradigms actually work? Paradigms that shift things and make new things take place. We've been focusing on the soul. I want to give you three words in the Bible. When you see the word life, L-I-F-E, life, in the New Testament, that word life in the Greek language always means one of three meanings or Greek words attached to that. Those three Greek words are actually the word psuche. And we're going to talk about psuche being the soul today. The realm also that's called zoe is actually the life of the spirit. Then the word bio is the life of the flesh. We get biology from bio. And, of course, zoe is Arthur Gregory's daughter's name, a great name to have for a child of God, because that means God's divine life, God's spiritual life. And so zoe is the spirit. Psuche. Now, psuche is not your cousin, psuche. We have Brenda Kay. We have Mary Kay, and we have Sue Kay, okay? This is Sue Kay, but it's actually P-S-U-C-H-E, not S-U-E-K-A-Y, okay? Sue Kay. We're going to deal a whole lot with Sue Kay this morning because that's the realm of the soul, and the soul is where the mind, the will, and the emotions resides at. It's also interesting to me to find out that there's also three main words in the Bible for love, and those three words are what? They are agape, which is God's love, amen, the highest form of the spiritual love. Then there's what's called eros, which is the bodily, natural kind of love. Then we have the thing that's called phileo, which is the brotherly kind of love one to another. These three loves line up to totally exactly with also the three words for life, because the zoe, God's spiritual life, is where we must have agape love matched with that. Those go together, amen? Then also we find the psuche, mind, will, and emotions type of a life. Is what we line that up with the thing that's called phileo, which is brotherly kindness, emotional love, one to another, helping each other out in brotherly kindness. The psuche phileo thing goes together. Then we have eros, actually lines up with the word bio, which is the flesh, because eros is where erotic comes from, and it's all the love about the flesh and about the own body and so forth. And beyond that, what's interesting to me also is all three of these realms of our triune being have a trinity in them as well. Our bodies, soul and spirit man, our body is made of what? It's made of fleshy, soft tissue and fluids and hard bones or teeth, okay? So we're made of a triune thing in our flesh. Tissue, fluids, and hard bones and teeth, okay? Three things. We find the soulish realm in our being is made of mind, will, and emotions. Three things. We find the spirit man inside of us made up of three things, and that is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all parts of our triune being have their own triune thing to them because God loves the number three, okay? So God says you're three squares. You're three to the three times three is nine. Nine is the number of redemption. And God says we are people that are triune. We're like Him, made in His image, His likeness. And God is saying to us today again, the psuche soul must be dealt with and become something under the blood of Jesus Christ. It must be the thing not in control of our life, but it must be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. Our soulish man's where the main warfare takes place in our lives today. So if what is stored up in our minds, because our soul is where the mind is at, and our mind is where things are stored up at as well, if our mind is stored up with a belief system that is actually full of negative things, those negative belief systems become what? They become strongholds. We heard Iris and folks in the congregation here prophesying out and saying God wants strongholds broken. As we saw James leading us in praise and worship, that God wants to break every chain, break every chain. God wants strongholds of negative thinking broken off our soul, and God can do that if you allow Him to do that with truth and righteousness and His power as God intervenes in your life. Amen? Strongholds are things like fear, things like depression, things like anger, things like bitterness, things like unforgiveness. These are all chains and strongholds that come from negative thinking, stinking thinking in our minds. God wants your minds washed by the washing of the water of the Word. So God, bring forth your Maytag. Turn up the heat, O God. Bring forth the agitator right now in Jesus' name. Bring in more tide, Father God, more water. Let the soap bubbles just flow in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. They've also found in the mind of man through research, about 90% of our mind is made up of actually subconscious thinking, about 90%. Right now, you're breathing in and out, not thinking about that at all. You're blinking your eyes right now, not thinking about that at all. Your heart is beating, your fingers are moving, your eyes are going back and forth. These things are all happening automatically by your own subconscious working for you. You can even tie your shoes right now, not even looking at your own feet probably, because you've done it so many times, your subconscious knows how to tie shoes. Amen? You know, about 8 or 9 months ago, we had this motorcycle weekend. We had rode Harleys and motorcycles out of our church parking lot, and I was really excited about that, really pumped about that, because I hadn't ridden a motorcycle for over 25 years. But the thing in my own heart that kind of brought me a little bit of a anxious time, with the Harley dealership, I brought the helmet I'd bought on discount at some Harley place that they sell Harleys at, whatever. I bought a helmet, and the guy says, okay, you must wear a helmet to ride this Harley out of here. Go ahead and put your helmet on. Well, helmets that are motorcycle helmets have got a strap, and they got two kind of U-shaped metal things that come down on the left-hand side. I haven't put a helmet on for over 25 years. This guy's watching me to say, is this guy the real deal? Can this guy really ride a motorcycle? And so I say, oh God, I need help right now. I have not tied this thing for 25 years. Can I remember how to put a helmet on and tie the strap under my chin once again? By the grace of God, I put the helmet on there, let my subconscious mind totally take over, and I tied that thing on perfectly in a matter of less than 10 seconds. I've done it every day for 4 years, years ago. My subconscious kicked back in again. God took that box in this male brain of mine that's called the motorcycle box, and God pulled that motorcycle box out. Amen. And I got this thing tied right. If I'd been a female, I would have been in trouble. Is that right? So you see, the man box comes in handy. We're gonna ride this whole seminar teaching thing right into the ground, okay? Because there was some good things taught there. Oh, yeah. Female would ask for help, and the owner of the place would say, you can't ride motorcycles. You're a liar. Leave. Just kidding. Okay. That's that emotional part. Okay, so I'm trying to appease that. Okay, maybe pull out the husband box right there and got me all messed up. Okay, I'm getting back into the preaching box. Okay, let me do this. Oh, there. Okay, good. Okay, now what you believe to be true in your mind, what you believe to be true in your mind will actually control everything in your life. Realize that. What you believe to be true in your mind will control everything in your life. We saw on TV perhaps this bombing in Boston where these two brothers caused such havoc there. And you might have seen them interview their mother a few days later. And the mother, she says to the camera guys and the journalists and reporters, there is no way on earth my boys did that crime. I know my boys. I've raised my boys. I've seen my boys. My boys did not do those horrendous crimes in Boston. You see, no matter what she saw as far as proof goes, she didn't care about the guy that got killed, the MIT policeman got killed by her own sons. She didn't care about the guns and the bombs inside their car and their apartment complex. She didn't care about the things found on their computers and their friends and so forth and so on. All she cared about was, my mind says, I raised these boys. I see them as little 5 and 10-year-old little boys that are innocent before me. There is no way my sons can do this in my mind. And thus, it is true. They're innocent. And so what we're hearing here is, what we're saying is, there's sometimes things in our mind that really are not true. They really are a lie. And it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit to change our minds and bring the truth in that sets us free. Amen? And so there's many things you can go into a side realm there about healing, about miracles, about faith, about forgiveness. These are all side issues here. That's why it's so important to come to church services like this on a regular basis, because when you come to a church service, the Word of God's going out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit there, and it brings forth a new paradigm shift many times to help your mind get renewed and get washed and be better and more like God is and less like the world is. Amen? So we need things like this on a regular basis. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This word again, heart, in the Hebrew language, is not the heart that beats in your chest. It's actually your mind. We all know that our heart doesn't think, our literal heart. It's our mind that thinks. So this word, this Hebrew word for heart, is the word mind. And also this word here that says, as a man thinks. The word thinks is only translated this way one time like this for the word think in the entire Old Testament. Other times, this word says something else, but the Hebrew translators kind of felt, they put the word think here, thinking it might be the best word in this scripture. But the word think here in the Hebrew language, it actually means to open up, to split something open, to be a gatekeeper, and to be in a place of access. That's what think means there. Be in a place of access, open up, split open, and be a gatekeeper, where a gate is at. So a better translation here for Hebrews, for Proverbs 23, verse 7, a better translation would say something like this. Whatever a person opens their mind, will, and emotions to, that is what they are. Whatever a man or woman opens their mind, will, and emotions up to, gives access to, opens the gate up for, that defines who they are. So that's why God says, guard your mind. Above everything else, He says, guard your heart, guard your mind, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen? How many folks would agree today there's many things that can pollute our minds all around us every day? God says again, above all else, he said, take and put on a helmet of salvation that will cover your mind, cover your head from all the things that will rob you of salvation around you upon the earth. So moving on here again, whatever's in there actually will control you in your life. That's one of the reasons, again, that I tell Cheryl I like to watch Dr. Phil at least one time a week. If I had my choice, I would rename the Dr. Phil show Soul Wars, Suke Wars. Because what happens to Dr. Phil's show is this man's got a brain and his psychology degree and so forth that pretty much thinks in correct type ways as far as behavior is concerned for human beings on the earth. He's done research, counseling for thousands of hours. This man's got a lot of wisdom in the Suke realm, the soulish realm, about how a human being should actually behave on the earth. Then he has folks come to his show that are totally off the charts with stinking thinking, wrong thinking, and their Suke is psycho. Okay, for the most part. I mean, he's got folks in there that are teenagers that think they're totally perfect. They're on coke. They're on meth. They're slapping their mothers around. They're killing dogs. They're doing all kind of bad things all the time. And they tell Dr. Phil, I'm normal. There's nothing wrong with me. Why am I even here? How can you help me out? I'm perfect. You see, their mind thinks what I'm doing is normal. It's right. And so we see Dr. Phil there is kind of a standard of a normal Suke. Trying to, in 35 minutes of talking time, get this person's mindset changed to seeing truth that hopefully will set them free somehow, some way. Now, of course, I understand that the shortfall here is there's very little done in the realm of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the Church of Jesus Christ can go beyond Dr. Phil and beyond Dr. Laura Schlesinger and beyond Dear Abby. And as she bring in the power of the Holy Spirit and get to the root cause much quicker and do something about that in the realm of the spirit, not just the realm of the soul and the flesh, okay? So I believe that God wants to raise up people in our own congregation and beyond here as well to be those who go beyond just the Suke bio realm of their own triune being, more in the realm of the spirit and help folks out on a deeper level who need to be set free around us in these last days. Amen? Because many folks need to be set free in Jesus' name. Okay? So you can change the conscious mind quickly and easily. I've seen girls and young ladies and women, men, so forth, on Dr. Phil's show. I've seen them change their behavior right there in front of his face for a few minutes. But you cannot change the subconscious mind quite so quickly and quite so easy. There's no reset, and there's no default, and there's no delete button on us to erase the subconscious mind. It takes the washing of the water of the Word of God. It takes time. It takes little by little to possess the land of your subconscious in your mind and your heart. That's why it's so good to read your Bible every day. When you read the Bible, the Word of God, is total, solid spiritual truth. It'll pour into you a Tide detergent once again and bring forth a washing of the water of the Word of God. We need God's Word. Read God's Word. Praise His name. Worship Him. Come to services like this. Listen to godly, faith-filled, godly, righteous people. Let them be those who are iron that sharpens iron. And let God wash our subconscious mind of all the filthy, stinking thinking that controls us in wrong ways in our lives. It takes revelation and an invasion of the Holy Spirit, but this takes place in our lives as well. I'm praying this morning revelation does come forth. Let's just realize, God, I need this mind, this subconscious mind, washed even more so to become more like you. I like that song that says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to know you and see you better. We have eyes in our heart, in our mind, that need to get opened up to know God better. Amen? And so, an example of the power of the subconscious, I heard a story here a few days ago about how a young man was actually put in front of a crowd at a college university, and they brought in a hypnotist that day. And I don't suggest you guys ever go to hypnotists to get help from cigarette smoking, weight loss, anger, whatever else. You don't need to submit your will to a person, a human being, or a demon in front of you, okay? This person did do this, though. They got hypnotized, and the hypnotist guy said, okay, in my hand, he said, I've got an ice cube. But I'm going to tell this young man this is a burning coal of flame. He tells the young man under hypnotic trance, this is a burning, flaming coal. Puts it in his hand. The young man drops it very fast. But the amazing thing was he still had blisters appear on the palm of his hand as if he'd been burned by a hot coal put into his hand. What's that tell us? It tells us that our brain still functions and releases negative things into our body when it thinks something is the truth that is really a lie. The truth was, it was an ice cube. But the mind thought, this is a burning, flaming coal, and I must release now all the things of chemicals to bring a blister about to start healing this hand that's been burned by a coal. Your mind is powerful. Your subconscious is powerful. Advertisers also know this. They know that they can take and put things subliminally in advertisements to try and make you think about their product even more so. I showed the guys in our congregation here about 2 years ago on Halloween, I think Halloween season. I showed the rock seminar I used to do back years and years ago. And I showed some of these subliminal messages I found in advertisements in magazine. Because guys that put pictures in magazines, they realize when you're sitting there in a doctor's office or sitting there in a mechanic's office, whatever else, you're thumbing through the pages very fast in a magazine. You see an ad for a split second and you turn the page. They found there's two main emotions that must be triggered in your subconscious to make you think about that product beyond the doctor's visit or beyond the time of viewing that little picture for a split second in your life. Those two emotions are death or fear and sex. And so very, very fast, very quick, they must put in those pictures subliminal cues to impregnate inside your subconscious images of death and fear or images of sex. And I showed the folks here in the congregation a broken Crown Royal bourbon bottle. It was actually broken on the concrete, and it says, makes a grown man cry underneath it there. But in the actual broken bottle, and in all the broken and the spilled out bourbon, there were images of scorpions and vultures with their beaks sideways and their skull of a vulture. There was a wolf. There was all kinds of fearful creatures and animals and so forth, images in the picture of the broken glass and the liquor spilled out. Because they know if I can just get fear or death in their brain very fast, it'll make them think about Crown Royal bourbon down the road. And so we're bombarded all the time by subliminal messages in our advertisements, in sometimes shows, sometimes movies, sometimes billboards. These things bombard our minds. We can't help that. That's why God says that your minds be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. Put on the full armor of God to defeat the wiles of the enemy in your life on this earth. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 verifies this. Ephesians 6, 14, Cheryl's version, amplified version. It says, stand therefore, hold your ground. How do I do that? By having tightened the belt of truth around your waist and around your loins. The belt of truth. Truth will keep you from everything that makes you fall or stumble or go backwards in this life. What I like about old Westerns, I got the Western Channel right now on our TV. I watch Westerns sometimes as well, to just relax sometimes at night. I like the old Western because the old Western shows the hero Western cowboy guy out there in the prairie by himself with his family. And we'll find that time and time again, the bad guys are riding up about a half a mile away with their black hats on. Every time it's black hats. And if there's three of them, you're in big trouble. If there's one of them, it may not be so bad. But if there's three of them, they're always bad guys. Because bad things come in threes in cowboy westerns, okay? And when the man of the house has his young son run to him and say, Dad, Dad, riders are coming. He'll go up there and look at him for a while, kind of size him up. And he'll always say to his son, Son, get my gun belt. And he'll run in there, come back out with a gun belt, got the pistol inside, got all the bullets on it. All the weapons hang on the belt. Amen? And finally, the guys come right up to the farmer, the cowboy's face, silent, quiet, saying nothing most of the time. And the cowboy man, what's he say? State your business. State your business. He got his hand right here. State your business. And so these guys here, you know, if they aren't there for the right reason, boy, it's on, baby. That weapon's out. Those bullets are flying. Hot lead and cold feet all over again. Amen? So what I'm telling you guys is God says you've got a belt I've given you that has all the weapons hanging on that. Make sure that truth is always tightly girt around your waist because the enemy comes in like a flood, unannounced, unseen, unforeseen. And so if you have the belt of truth on you, when the liar comes, You will expose the lies, see the lies, reject the lies, and say, boy, get back on your horse and leave his place. This belongs to me. I will shoot you. All right? That's just kind of my little paraphrase, okay? That's my little Western box, okay? Okay, so I'm going to move on now to number two. Number two, about self. Huh? Yeah, empty box, right. Okay, number two. We are in, about self, we are in need of change. Amen, we're in need of change. So we have some soulish paradigms that God needs to change in us. One of those paradigms is self-denial. The enemy of self-denial is a thing that's called exalted soul. We want to write that down. It's a total new term for some folks here, exalted soul. What do I mean by that? When God made Adam, God made Adam to have his spirit man in control of his life. The Bible says God walked and talked with Adam, communed with him, spoke with him, gave him knowledge, wisdom, instructions. He spoke to him spirit to spirit every day of his life. And what God told us and showed us in the Bible was the spirit man would then take and dictate what God said to the soulish man, the mind, the will, the emotions. And the soulish man would then say to the body, now go do what God said to do. The problem was, God told Adam and Eve, when you eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, on that day you will surely die. And we all know that meant their spirit man will die, not their soul, not their flesh, but their spirit man will die on that day. They ate the fruit, the spirit man died. What's that mean? That means now the soul of man is now in control. Now Adam's a soul man. I'm a soul man. Okay, he's now a soul man, okay? That's a problem. Because now, because the soul's in control, it now means Adam is running by his mind, his will, and emotions, okay? His mind and will and emotions now control Adam and control Eve and control Cain and control Abel, and Cain kills Abel, and it goes on and on and on because man has now got a self-exalted soul, and the spirit man has now been pushed down and has now been under the soulish man itself. Jesus Christ came back to the earth, came on the earth to pay the price to get our spirit man back on the throne once again with God's help and God's grace. But it still takes work on our part to see it totally take place for us. So, at the fall, the soul was exalted. It took preeminence, and the spirit experienced death in that day, in that hour. The nature of pride and self-exaltation came in. This says, I want to receive knowledge by myself. I want to be in control of my own life. I want to take and live by my feelings, my natural understandings, not by some invisible being out there. I want to be able to take and touch and feel and see everything before I believe it. I want to see it before I believe it. All these are things of the Humanist Manifesto, that man's the highest being, that man's brain's as high as it goes, and praise God that's not so. Because man needs God. God made man, and God did not make man to rule this world by his psuche and by his own body only. We need the Spirit to make things in harmony in the universe. Amen? So the part of Adam that wasn't made to need and contact God, the psuche, the soul, was now in full control and was full of pride and full of self-life. And that's a sad thing. And that's when the whole world began to go through a real tumbling time over the whole last centuries and thousands of years has been in existence. The pleasing and preservation of self took over where the Spirit of God said, I want to please God. I want to give pleasure to God. God must be first because God can handle this. That thing was replaced by man saying, I must now please myself. And I must now preserve myself. I must take control of myself. I must help myself. I must be in control of my life. That's a dangerous thing. If there had never been a fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the picture of all of us on the earth today would be something like this. It'd be people that were full of hilarious joy who were serving each other in the power of the Holy Spirit. People full of hilarious joy serving each other in the power, anointing, and destiny and giftings of the Holy Spirit. That's what the world would be like today. But it's not like that. Because Suke's in control, fallen Suke, and not Zoe, Zoe life of God. Amen. You know, I heard a man talking about Christopher Reeve, the former Superman star from years ago that's now, of course, passed away and died. He's being interviewed a few years back by the now deceased Larry King. Larry King is very pointed. He's very candid. He asks very tough questions. And he asked Larry King and his wife one day on the air, he said, Christopher, you are now paralyzed from the neck down. You cannot have sexual gratification. You cannot feed yourself, clothe yourself. You cannot take and do things you did back in the past. You might even find yourself dying before your time because of the thing you suffered from the fall from that horse that paralyzed you from the neck down. How do you cope with that kind of depressing thing in your life? How do you face every day with victory and with joy and with peace? How do you do that? Christopher Reeve said, "My wife and I have had a battle with this. I have gone through depression. I have gone through fear. I've gone through anger. I've gone through all those bad emotions. But I have found if I will take and stop during times of depression and get my eyes off myself and on the needs of other folks around me, that depression starts lifting. That anger starts going. All those negative things that control me, try to control me, all start going away when I start serving others with what I have to serve them with in my life." The key to us having emotional soundness is not serving ourselves, but serving folks around us with what God's placed in us. Amen? So God wants it to be part of our life as well. The very nature of God is to be a loving, joyful giver. And a giving God is what God is. This is what He's moving us also toward in our lives. So last of all, number three, third thing about the self is Jesus came to deal with exalted souls. We're going to end with this in several minutes from now. But I want to say that every time the Bible says that Jesus came to lay down His life for us, that word in the Greek language, life, is not zoe. It is not bios, the body. It is the word psuche, the soul. Jesus Christ came to lay down His psuche, His soul, for you and I. Now, why is that? It's the soul of man that got man to sin. Eve saw the tree was good. Eve saw it was desirable for food, for so forth. Her mind got tempted. Her mind was trapped. Her body partook. And through that, sin took place. Jesus Christ laid down His psuche, His soul, His emotions, His mind, His will for us. Not one time in the Bible is it the word bios, physical body. Not one time. It's always, every time, psuche, psuche, psuche. Jesus laid down His psuche, His soul, for you and I on the cross. I want to say one thing also, moving on here again. It's kind of controversial perhaps. But I found the current trend right now in Christianity across this nation, even around the world in many ways as well, is the trend is to move Christian culture toward thinking that the highest form of godliness is to demonstrate phileo love to those in need around us in times of need and disaster. Put that in plain English, what I'm saying to you guys is the world will applaud the church when we rush to tornado scenes and bombings in West Texas and abortion clinics and floods and famines and so forth. The world applauds the church when phileo love takes place and we help out the natural, practical needs of people who go through disasters on the earth. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I praise God that Christians do that. But the world would say to us, that is the highest form of godliness, to do phileo love upon the earth. Yet we see folks involved in phileo love getting DUIs. And we see them beating their children. And we see them swearing and doing things of a carnal, fleshly, sinful nature. And it shows us doing phileo love will not in itself make you like Jesus. It won't make you like God. So what Jesus Christ says time and again is, I only do what I see the Father doing. And Jesus Christ did so many good works, the Bible says, the books of the earth can't contain what Jesus did. But every work Jesus did was birthed in obedience to the Father out of agape love, out of zoe spirit, out of obedience to the Lord. You know, I've even seen believers sometimes picket abortion clinics in Kansas, hating every pastor in town for not doing the same. That is not agape love. That is not the zoe life of the Holy Spirit. You can do phileo all you want. And that's what even Christ Himself says. You can take and lay down your body to be burned in the flames. If you have not got agape zoe, 1 Corinthians 13, love, you are a clanging gong and a sounding cymbal. And what you do burns in heaven and gets you no rewards whatsoever. God says in Proverbs, all a man's ways seem right to him, but God tests the motives and the hearts. Amen? So I'm trying to get us into a realm here where we do help out tornado victims, we do help out flood victims, we help out folks in phileo love, but it goes into a higher realm of agape love. So when we go there to the tornado victims, God would use us in words of knowledge, words of wisdom. God would help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ there as well. Be salt, be light, not just be phileo, but also be agape for folks we come in contact with in needs around us on the earth. You catch that, what I'm saying? Because I'm finding a trend right now that's around our nation, around the earth, the highest form of the church's excellence is always doing phileo love and helping the needs of others. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. It's being under the obedience and submission to God himself is also a big part of that as well. Okay, so Jesus Christ came to reverse what Adam did. Adam took us into a state of being where the soul took preeminence, our mind, our will, our emotions. Jesus says, Adam exalted his own soul, I lay mine down. Hopefully, you get to the place yourself, you lay your soul down also, and you die to self. John chapter 10, verse 10 verifies this. John 10:10 says in verse 11 also, the thief comes, does not come, except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that is the word zoe, eternal, spiritual life, zoe life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life, suke, that's the word suke there. The good shepherd gives his soul, his suke, for the sheep. What's Jesus Christ saying here then? He's saying, I'm going to lay down my suke, my soulish life, to give you, zoe, spiritual life. That's what Jesus said there. I'm going to trade my suke for zoe in your life. I'm going to let my suke man be crucified, die on the cross, to give you zoe in your life. This is why, time and again, Jesus says again, I must be about my Father's business. I only do what I see my Father doing, because he says, I'm living zoe life, hearing God's voice, agape love, not just my flesh, not my emotions, not my will, but God's will be done upon the earth. Jesus lived that way. He took the suke and the bio, the flesh and the soul, let it get nailed to a cross and said, here is where you die. My suke, my bio, my flesh, my soul must die on the cross. John chapter 12, verse 24 goes on and says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, that grain of wheat is your soul. It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life, the word life there is suke, in this world will lose it. He who hates his life, suke, soul, in this life, this world, will keep it for eternal life, zoe. Those who lose their soul, their suke, their mind, their will, their emotions in the fleshly realm will gain the zoe and become a spirit man, not a flesh man any longer in their lives. He's saying that the only way you do this, have my life working through you, is you must get suke to the cross. Amen? Why is that? Because suke has the power to shut down zoe. How many here have ever seen that game? We've all seen this. It's called rock, paper, scissors. Now, why do we use rock, paper, scissors? Mainly, it's used to resolve conflicts, resolve hard situations. So we all know that rock beats scissors, scissors beats paper, but paper beats rock. But in common sense, natural realm, rock beats everything. Rocks can destroy paper and scissors, amen? Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. So to me, the rock stands for God, stands for Jesus, and the paper stands for your soul or suke. In the game, why does paper beat rock? Because paper covers the rock. Your soul can cover the spirit inside of you. Your soul can grieve the Holy Spirit. Your soul can shut down the Holy Spirit. Your soul can make your spirit become deaf to hearing God's voice. Your soul can make you become insensitive to knowing God's presence. Your soulish man can cover your zoe, your spirit. So God is saying to us, to win rock, paper, and scissor, the rock must always be in control in your life. That rock is Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. You can't get the life of the Spirit out of you unless it flows through your soul, through your mind, your will, your emotions. Last verse here, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says here, Then he said to them all, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross one time when he gets saved. Is that what it says?
No.
Take up your cross daily and then follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose his life, suke. Whoever loses his life, suke, for my sake will save his life, zoe. God is saying to us, you must pick up your cross daily, because every day new challenges take place. Every day God takes new territory in your mind, your will, your emotions. And if we serve ourselves all the time, the result is we have restraints that are gone in our lives. When the Bible says that Eve desired the fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that word desired actually means ungoverned, unrestrained desire came on Eve. The problem with having a suke-controlled lifestyle is that your emotions, your desires aren't bad in themselves, but if the desires are left to themselves, left to run the gamut of no government and no restraints, they always go towards extremes and perversions every single time. When the Holy Spirit doesn't control your emotions, your soul, your will, your mind, it'll go to extremes and even perversions in due time, every time. Amen? That is why werewolf movies, vampire movies, and zombies to you guys scare folks so much. Because we all know when a man becomes a werewolf, he has no government, he has no restraints, he kills everything in sight. Isn't that true? You see how the werewolf, way back a long time ago, would have his girlfriend in his house. He knows a full moon's coming in about 2 hours. He says, honey, run for your life. I'm going to Jekyll on you real quick here. When I do this, I cannot control myself. You are dead meat. I'm saying run right now. Run like the devil. Because I'm going to become the devil, okay? What we see there by Hollywood is a vivid portrayal there of a man who has no more restraints and no more control, no more government over his life and faculties at all. That's an extreme, I agree. Zombies, vampires, werewolves have all been transformed by demons, amen? They can't control themselves any longer. I'm saying you guys are not like that. You've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You can let Him and allow Him to control your mind, control your thoughts, control your actions, control your being if you let Him take control of every part of your life. As James was back to the platform to help me out here at the close of this service, I want to close by saying we have a culture that's getting more and more rampantly no restraint, no government. I'll do as I see fit in my own eyes. I want to be self-governed. I want to be self-made. I don't want any boundaries around me. I want to do what I do, like it or not. I don't care. I want no restraints in my life. And God says there must be boundaries, there must be restraints by my word, by truth, because those things are there to protect you and bless you, not hurt you, not harm you. They're only for your good. Amen. Well, your heads are bowed right now and our eyes are closed to pray.